You're listening to the Cash and Burn podcast, and I'm your host, Brandon Metcalf. Join me as I interview and have conversations with founders and leaders about the greatest obstacles and challenges they've faced while building their businesses. Learn how they overcame them and ultimately what made them successful. The podcast is brought to you by Place. Place is a B2B SaaS customer subscription management, billing, forecasting, and metrics platform powered by Salesforce. Growing SaaS businesses use Place to better align their revenue and finance teams so they can boost revenue growth and retention, manage renewals, collect cash faster, and make more informed decisions all directly inside of Salesforce. Hey everyone, welcome back to Cash and Burn. Today I have JP Leggett. He's the CEO and founder of Squiver. Hey JP.
Brandon, pleasure to be here. Fan of the show, and I'm super excited to be on.
Well, we play in a lot of the same circles, so we definitely keep crossing paths quite often. But I have to know, how did the name of your company come to be?
Yeah. So back in 2018, we called it Squiver. The name is actually a Salesforce quiver of solutions to help people succeed. And since then, we've kind of evolved. But that is usually the first question everyone asks about the name.
Well, let's talk a little bit about you. Like, tell us about your background, what you're up to, your journey to how you got here. What could you share with us?
Yeah, so Squiver is actually kind of focused right around the RevOps side of the house, and a lot of sales excellence is there. My background is sales, so to speak. And so back in probably a long time ago, the early 2000s, I started in sales, and I think I was doing cell phones first. And this was back when cell phones weren't a thing. So it was fairly revolutionary to do what we were doing there.
Is that when we had like the Razor and the flip phone? Is that about the timing?
That was the Razor and the flip phone. Yeah. Yeah. The biggest question was which network were we getting on? And so sales and kind of excellence around sales has evolved a lot since then versus, hey, which Razor do you want today? And we have a Razor in black or gray. from there, I hopped into technology sales as an interesting part of technology sales. It was distribution. So I really got to see like the partner network first, understand what that looked like, understand like who end users were, who was kind of, you know, passing paper throughout the disti channel. And I decided I needed a challenge. So Brandon, I took on a commission only sales job from
That's
there.
Ambitious.
Yeah. But that disti ecosystem, that was actually, we're both in the Salesforce ecosystem now, which is super strong. It's such a great ecosystem. And I think like, if I rewound it back to those days, Sun Microsystems was a thing back in those days. And I saw firsthand how it worked, how it functioned, and how, you know, partners and both from an application perspective, but also from a technology perspective, just added value across the board. So I actually hopped on with a reseller at that point, commission-only sales. For any of you who haven't done commission-only sales, there's no better way to hone your skills in to optimize your results than to do that.
It's definitely character building. I did it for a little while myself. It teaches you quite a few things about yourself.
You were probably doing all the same stuff. We're knocking on doors. We're getting really involved with who we knew and how we went from like that lead moment on into a close. And for me, it was servers, it was storage, and really started honing my skills, my networking, just building up my career. But I was pretty immature at the time. And I was in Arizona, where I met my wife and ultimately got my MBA down there. And this is probably like the pre-MBA portion of my career where I was just pursuing this thing that I knew. Staying in my comfort zone, and I was getting really good at it. And so I decided to go back for that continuing education I would recommend for anyone. But really what, for me, it became, how do I up level? How do I understand, like, I always fought with marketing. Why am I fighting with marketing? That doesn't make any sense. Why is finance always pushing back on me? What is happening at the executive level that I don't know about that's, you know, four steps up and ultimately impacting my commission structure or my day to day and my all the things. And so, you know, when I went through that program, one class in particular stood out. It was emotional intelligence, and it gave you that lens to let's look around a little bit. Let's find out, you know, what collaboration means internally, and what that looks like in context of, like, you know, other people in other departments have goals. They have similar mindsets. And if you could team versus counteract a lot of what's going on there, it makes your life quite a bit easier. And so, great lesson to learn. I think, like, if you guys got that from the podcast, that's fantastic. Skip the MBA. immediate value. No, it took me 2 years, and obviously there's a lot of value. I was at Arizona State, and then I promptly kind of hopped into what I would almost consider the big time. So, you know, I graduated up from commission only sales at a reseller up to Sun Microsystems and Oracle for 6 years. I actually made my way over to the Salesforce ecosystem through the Big Machines acquisition, and then directly with Salesforce. And that was really reminiscent of those kind of synergies that Sun Microsystems and that partner ecosystem started. I'll say it was next level with Salesforce. I'm not saying that Oracle is bad at partnering right now, but they definitely didn't have the structure in place to do what Salesforce was doing in 2014, 2015.
Well, that was a different mindset too. I mean, the partner ecosystem has always been such a foundational play of Salesforce, almost out of the gate.
It's so foundational. It's so valuable. Like Salesforce, I think it's such a flexible platform where you could start to get into ERP, accounting, HR, all these things that, you know, ultimately were kind of just, in the past, they were just knife fights with vendors, and they were, you know, there were acquisition targets. And when you hopped over to the Salesforce ecosystem, I actually hopped over with a company called Conga in 2015, and that was eye-opening. It was before they were really kind of, you know, hitting their stride a little bit. The two co-founders were amazing, Michael and Mark. And I learned a bit from them coming in, but then, you know, being able to kind of grow a company from 12 million up to 135 million in revenue over 5 years was a wild ride. And it came with a ton of challenges. And that was, you know, that was my second MBA is what I'll call that one.
So you're at Conga, and then you decided to leave and do what you're doing now, or what was the transition to get you where you're at?
Yeah. So I'm leading the enterprise team at Conga. We're doing really well. We're impacting the market. And Conga gets acquired by Thoma Bravo and Aptus. Which is fantastic. And I think, you know, I wish the best of that company. I actually made the decision to leave probably about 6 months into that acquisition, where it was just the timing was right. We had Squiver up and running. We were starting to sign, or we were on the verge of signing our first couple of customers. And so, you know, in 2020, I resigned and we went full bore with Squiver, which has been amazing since then. I don't know. 2020 was an interesting time to go full bore with a new business.
It's when I launched Place too. Trust me, I get it.
Did you in 2020?
Yeah, we started sales in the beginning of 2020. We started building in 2019, but yeah, it was quite the wild ride.
And I think it's going to pay off big time, because the time of starting a business in a downturn, you've got all these challenges out in front of you. You have such an opportunity to just, like, hone in what is a healthy, not only business model, but product market fit, afforded us the ability to grow.
So what do you guys actually do?
Yeah. So Squiver is focused on essentially enabling the RevOps side of the team. We focus on sales excellence and Salesforce. So what that boils down to is, we have the number one org chart and hierarchical representation in Salesforce, all natively done. That's out of the gate. And then we've actually launched account plans, opportunity playbooks, and white space analysis in the last 2 years. And so, you know, we're building, I think, you know, one of the core lessons I learned at Conga is, get your team, keep your team, and make sure that they're uber happy with not only what you're doing, but the culture and the vision is something they can impact.
Yeah, so it sounds like you guys do the stage before what we do at Place, because at Place we do, we really do the like the subscription. So when you're adding products, going through that booking, and then we apply the RevRec and get it out to the billing and then connect it to finance. So we do the second part of the RevOps piece. Once the deal's been won, we kind of kick in.
Yes, yes. And that's such a good lead-in because, you know, we're focused on, this was back in the Conga days, I was always running QBRs, deal reviews, and whatnot. And I was asking the same questions all the time. In fact, a lot of my peers have been asking the same questions, and I've had the opportunity to work with a ton of talented people. And all of us just kind of looked at each other and we said, you know, why don't we just automate this in the CRM? Well, where is that in the system of record? And, you know, from there, it was kind of like, okay, let's take that sales process, the sales methodology, build it out, make it repeatable, and make sure the bottom 20% performers are up-leveled to ensure that they're uber successful against, you know, what are those best practices that the top reps are doing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, it's exactly why we wanted to build Place inside of Salesforce too. To like, it did make a lot of sense for me to use like a third-party solution like a Maxio or SaaSoptics, where you do everything in Salesforce, they extract the data out. Now you have a third system of record that you're supposed to do stuff with that no one can see. And then how does it connect? We're like, why don't we just build that inside of Salesforce and make it part of the workflow and actually just complete everything, you know, in one solution. So that's what we're up to. Well, let's talk about like, you've seen a lot, your career, you've done a lot. I love the fact that you were doing commission-based sales, but then also all the stuff that you were doing at Conga. Like, let's talk about some of the challenges you faced and how you overcome them. So what are some things that come to mind?
Yeah, I think a lot of it was, you know, how do you scale a business? You know, in the Conga days, early on, we had zero processes. We were trying to kind of walk through what is otherwise undefined everything. I remember actually drawing a map with Mike Davis at the time was on.
Great guy.
Great guy. And Mike and I split out the country and we said, you know, here's the line. And it kind of like went all over the place. And so from there, like putting that that process in place and, you know, being able to take what is your core competency and make that repeatable to a sales team that was pretty new was a huge opportunity. So so I think like, you know, the challenges of a $12 million business as it evolves up to 20 million are numerous. And then once you're venture backed, now how do you go from 20 to 100 within a certain amount of time frame? And there's probably core framework there, Brandon, but I think more or less you can probably see the gray hairs on my head. Those are all well earned. And I think like at the forefront of that is, you know, from that mentorship perspective, how can you drive sales excellence where a sales team didn't exist, build out a solid methodology, have buy-in across an organization, and ensure that's repeatable across any segment, right? Commercial, enterprise, accordingly. And so that, there's some super talented people at Conga. This wasn't by all means done in a vacuum. And so everyone was kind of charging towards that same goal. And it took a strong leadership team. And it took a strong sense of purpose at the end of the day too.
Well, I mean, what about then when you moved on and you decided to launch Squiver at the beginning of a pandemic? Like, what was that journey like for you to get the, I can tell you, I remember what it was like for Place. Of, it was kind of an odd feeling, right? Because we didn't really have many customers and we were still trying to figure out our sales cycle. So it was kind of like, it was an event, but like if it would happen today, I think it'd be more devastating to the company than what it was for me then, because we were still just trying to, who are we? What do we do? We had no idea what product market fit was because we started, like Play started off, we were doing financial forecasting inside of Salesforce, which is a passion of mine because I did so much forecasting at Talent Rover that I want to solve that problem for other SaaS companies. But we never really thought, how do we connect all the dots? Like, how do we make it really why you need to do it inside of Salesforce, which we've eventually figured out. which is why we do the subscription management piece. But we were just kind of wavering through going, there's a there. We don't know what it is yet. We think we have an idea. We're going to keep marching at it. So the COVID experience was, for us, it was hard to build culture with the team. But from a true sales perspective, we were so early, it was kind of a blip, at least for 2020.
All right, Brandon, so I'm back. I know there's a change of scenery here, but...
Just keeping everyone on their toes. You can't see it on the audio, but, you know, the internet went down and your whole venue and even your appearance. Now you got sunglasses on. Everything's changed.
Yeah, well, beautiful Colorado here. So absolutely. I think 2020 was an interesting year. And I think for us, we had a lot of shocks. We were acquired. It was a 1,500 person company that, we decided to leave and we hopped over to a 3-person company. And with that, with the backdrop of COVID and all the challenges that we were experienced then, there was just a lot of adjustments to be had. And I think to your point, like when you go from 1,500 to 3 people, you want the luxury of full marketing departments, full business development departments.
Any department.
And now all of a sudden you're doing everything yourself. And so it's funny, we're doing this on a podcast right now. I think I flipped a coin to say, you know what, who's going to be our social seller? Who's going to do podcasts? Who's going to do blogs? And I lost all those bets. but it's been great because, in particular, you have to get outside your comfort zone to succeed. You have to challenge your product. You have to challenge, does this fit within the market? What are our customers saying about the product? How can I evolve to make it better? And for us, we're a customer first company. We do look at customer success as the first and foremost. And, there's some tough lessons there. You're going to walk through and you're going to fail. Hopefully you fail quickly, learn from it, get up and keep going. What you're looking at today is this is the full marketing department of Squiver, full business development, full sales. And I have the luxury of working with some super talented product folks who put that at the forefront and they listen to the customers and putting that against the Salesforce database, sales excellence or what Place does against the Salesforce database is amazing things. You're basically working off of what is otherwise a hugely valuable set of data, and you have to do it right, and you have to do it so it's a valuable set for the customer.
Yeah, and you've got to get the data cleaned up and organized and make it meaningful. Like, I was just at Salesforce World Tour a few weeks now ago, and hearing about all the generative AI and what it can do, and seeing the demo of what they're doing inside of Slack, what they're doing inside of Sales Cloud. I mean, it's all phenomenal. But a big part of World Tour was also talking about data and everything that they're doing to make the data flow more cohesively and just more organized. And we see this a lot on the Place side where, a lot of companies that buy our product buy it because they've tried to customize Salesforce themselves to change and make it do all of these things. And, SIs do brilliant work, but you change it, someone leaves, the business process changes, and then you're kind of back to reinventing the wheel, but everyone forgets what the heck happened or how to undo it. And, we see a lot of just tangled messes of, all right, we need a refresh. And I think that's one of the interesting things about going from a fully custom solution to a purchased solution is we normalize it and give you an upgrade path. But, all of this stuff cohesively fits together. It's one of the powers of Salesforce, right? You can do anything you want, but it's also one of the problems with Salesforce is you can do anything you want. And if you don't get it right, it can be difficult to untangle, which is why it's exciting to see what you guys are doing at Squiver, because I do think that's such an important need. And, especially right now, as we're in a challenging economic time, whatever your personal beliefs is what this economic time is, because everyone seems to have a different philosophy of where we're at. Sales is still the name of the game, if not more important right now. So anything to help elevate salespeople is an investment worth making if they can generate some more cash for you to keep the business going.
Yeah, and there's so much to unpack there too. So you brought up, generative. And with Salesforce, every world tour has had a new generative announcement. It's going to be Slack. It's going to be Sales Cloud. It's going to be, you know, being able to really map everything accordingly. And I think, like, when you talk about the data aspect, I get into this in every sales call. You know, contact data itself, who's who on any account, who, what roles they play, where are they in the sales cycle? That's all an org chart and a hierarchy. That's what we do. And nobody's data is perfect. And, you know, everybody's data is probably far from perfect in Salesforce. And so, you know, anything you can do to help to enhance that experience and that data at the same time is going to be super valuable.
How has the economic change been for you guys? Is it helping? Is it challenging? Like, what's your vantage on the world?
I mean, there's definitely challenges out there. I think where we personally are seeing them is, you know, we need to up-level our value game, which is why we've built out white space analysis and gone with that full account planning, because that's truly transformational for a lot of the revenue teams. And I think, you know, in context of challenges, I think every technology company is seeing the renewal challenge today. You know, how vested are your customers in your product set? And if you're not pivoting, if you're not developing, if you're not innovating, you're probably going to get left behind a little bit there.
Yeah, it's definitely the, are you a nice to have or are you a need to have? And do you understand the value prop of why? And does your customer, more importantly, understand that value prop? Like, I'd be terrified if Place would have just stayed in financial forecasting. I think we would have had some serious troubles right now, because I do think financial forecasting is really important. But I also think there's parts of it that are nice to have and not a need to have. So I'm glad that we expanded what we do to offer a much more cohesive, you know, revenue focused product versus just a finance focused product.
Well, and that innovation too is key, because, you know, once you're in a spot and you're, you know, CPQ, you know, back end accounting, whatever that might be, if you're not continuing to innovate towards where the world is going, which is, you know, generative is playing an interesting role there in all those spaces. I think, you know, you're going to put not only your current revenue at risk, you're going to put your growth rate at risk quite a bit. And I think that's top of mind for everyone.
And someone's going to come and steal your market share if you're really not innovating and in developing new features. Well, let's talk about that. I always like to ask a question on the show of, you know, what do you think other founders or execs should be focused on right now? So building off of thinking into the future and growing, like, where do you think people's heads should be?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough not to go AI here, Brandon. I think that, you know, how I'll just throw my two cents in on how I see it in our world. I think, you know, objectively, we're able to look at AI and we're able to say, against an account plan, can you ingest a lot of that kind of preset work that takes a long time? Can you take a 10K and tell me what a CMO cares about in that 10K? And that's really imperative to, you know, who is your ICP? How are you targeting them? And what do they care about? And I think the top performers I've ever seen in sales are always able to up-level their deals because they're strategic. They're getting up to what is that digested 10K moment. And I think that would be a great use case for us to pursue. I saw you had Ben from Pipe Launch.
Awesome guy.
And Ben's doing some great work on outreach there. And I think, you know, if you're doing outreach, you're doing it transparently. I know Salesforce is going big here. You have to make sure that if it's customer facing, it's going to be the message you want to send. And I've seen, you know, some initial hiccups there to watch out.
Yeah, Ben's interesting. I met with him right when he was coming up with the idea for his company. And then I lost touch with him for a little bit. I mean, we changed messages in LinkedIn and stuff like that. But, you know, with Assemble, my new software on Salesforce for staffing, he and I got reconnected. And then I saw the new demo, and he's doing, it's incredible the amount of innovation they've done in such a short period of time and what that product actually solved. So,
yeah. Yeah, you talk about pivots. I mean, if you just stayed in financial forecasting, Ben has pivoted probably four or five times to really, you know, develop his pipe launch firm into a leader within that business development realm. And I can see he's got big visions there. I think with us, you know, we're being driven by a lot of our customer base. We're actually, I'm going to nerd out on you a little bit here, Brandon. We're object agnostic. So what we've been able to do is actually start to map in what is a HR use case in context of the hierarchy. What is an internal account team? What are partners looking like? And so, you know, those customer asks, they don't stop coming. And if you don't fulfill a lot of these, then that innovation piece suffers. And I think, you know, you, Ben, the whole crew, we've done a good job of not only building a business, but building it with the thought that the future, you know, has a lot of innovation in front of it.
It is interesting seeing the new generation of Salesforce-based products. And like even us at Assemble, like Assemble, one of our products is an applicant tracking system, but we learned so much from Talent Rover, which was my first recruiting applicant tracking system, about the need for flexibility and the need to somewhat be object agnostic ourselves, where we by design can connect our product to any custom objects or standard objects inside of Salesforce. And it was just the learning of how do people actually use Salesforce? What do they want it to do? So seeing what you guys are up to, what Ben's up to, and there's a couple others that are just like, wow, this is really the next generation of where Salesforce is going to go. It's a super exciting time to be in the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Salesforce has built such a great partner community, and the ability to foster this type of innovation through this entrepreneurship that we've got today is really, you know, like taking a relational database to the next level. And it's basically saying, you know, yes, your most valuable data is there, but if you can't unlock it, you're going to suffer.
Yeah. Not throw generative on there, and it's, we're off to the races. So, well, we are out of time. As much as I'd love to change venues again and see where we land next, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your background and your experience and your thoughts with us.
Brandon, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Everyone else, Cash and Burn comes out every Tuesday, so we'll see you next week. Thanks.